Rangers Rambles.
We are live with the next episode of the Furry Raiders podcast. I am Jolt, the chief host of the show. And joining us today is Avira, our co-host.
Hey, everybody. Sorry I wasn't here last week. I was at a FurryCon, but it's great to be back.
I hope you had a great time and safe travels and so forth.
Well, thank you. I did, and we shall be talking about that momentarily.
Indeed. Next up on our band of returning guests, Douglas.
Hello, nice to be back again. Thank you so much.
Well, always a pleasure to have you. Next up on our band of returning guests as well, Mikhail.
Hello.
And to round this all off, we have Sparky.
Hello. Hey, guys.
All right. So I want to start by prefacing what some recent events, and that Kaforix has basically created one last parting video, or so he claims. Okay, so here's the thing, though. Before I do get started on covering that, like, how much are you willing to bet he's going to end up like the 99% of furries who just basically claim that I want out of this fandom, and then a few days later, they're back in?
Oh, yeah,
but didn't he say in the video that he wasn't leaving the fandom? He was, you know, just leaving, you know, the community. And he would just, you know, do some regular videos.
That's like the same thing, though. You know, he's still trying to make that statement. Especially the way that he talked about how much he dislikes all the degeneracy that he perceives. It's pretty clear that he was not happy.
Well, Dojo Dingo said he left the fandom, but he still has his fursuit with him as I follow him on Instagram.
Right. Yeah, so it depends, you know.
He could have just been referring to the fandom as in the community. He could still be it on his own.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we have to remember that Carthorix was very involved in the fandom for quite some time, you know, doing all sorts of videos on it and whatnot. So I think the stress might have just got to him, because this all came out of nowhere. You know, he didn't say anything about this months ago. He's like, oh, well, you know, all the furries are pedophiles all of a sudden. And it's like, dude, like, come on.
Well, he said Kira the Wolf was the last straw for him. He basically just got tired of it.
Mm.
Yeah.
The controversy with Kira.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's that too. But he also makes a couple of salient points as well regarding, you know, furries and is essentially in a perpetual high school, where he cannot connect with anybody there.
Well, the majority of people in the fandom have been like that.
Yeah, it was interesting how he equated, because like in the second half of the video, what he's basically talking about are SJWs, you know, the whole idea of a hive mind, and if you disagree, then you're a Nazi or a bigot or whatever the heck. So I think he's trying to equate the two. And unfortunately, there are a lot of SJWs in the fandom. But I think that his anger might be misguided, you know?
I mean, it could just be that there's a lot of overlap. Like, think like two Venn diagrams. Like, here's one group, the furries, and then here's the other group, the SJWs, and the
other
stuff,
that.
And there's an overlap, you know?
Yeah.
Because of similarities between the two groups' activities.
I mean,
Although, you know how, like, how he said that this community is kind of like essentially turned into a high school drama at this point. Because, I mean, when you really think about it, a lot of these, a lot of furries are about in their early 20s, or even just younger than that. Some of them are even still in high school. Like, a few people. I mean, there might even be a couple of people in the Raiders that might be even in high school and stuff. And, you know, sort of makes me wonder that maybe we could do something about that.
I would honestly love to jump at the chance to help those high schoolers, the Generation Zs of our, you know, of our lifetime.
Help people grow up the right way.
They need all the fucking help they can get because they're Generation Zs. They're in a heap of trouble right now.
But they are the ones that will carry the torch of America's destiny and that of the world.
Yeah, really. Millennials are so doomed.
Oh God, I feel freaking insulted because I am in that generation.
Me too.
I'm stuck in that weird in between.
It's horrible.
Same like, here. 96 like, for me.
Yeah, same here. Like, I was just born, like, at a really weird in-between time where, like, I remember playing a lot of Pokemon games as a kid, and then actually growing up as the technology advanced at its extreme pace.
Yeah.
I mean, I learned how to use the internet when I was 6 years old.
No, actually, my parents were like way too controlling over me and actually kept me away from the internet until I was about, you know, mid-teens.
I was about 13 when I was.
And then within a couple months of being introduced to the internet, you know.
Yeah.
I was born in 1997, so.
Hey, is that kind of time, you know?
I just hope that Corthrix really doesn't believe all of these crazy things he's talking about. Because, like, you know, of course, in any group, there's going to be some bad people. But he makes it seem like
he made a lot of good points, but he jumped to a couple conclusions that were not necessarily true.
Yeah, he overjumped. That's pretty much the problem with that is that I'm pretty sure a lot of us have overjumped the gun.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah. But, I mean, he's talking about SJWs in the hive mind. And I'm like, dude, that's not furries, though. That's a different thing. But he's trying to, like...
And it also occurs in the general public, too, so...
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, nobody's perfect.
And Ice here says that he's from 1991. Oof.
Millennial as shame. I mean, yeah. The thing about the Kaforix video is that it's a mixed bag, and maybe Kaforix felt too worn out to fully research all the facts, and I don't know, there's a tinge of maybe he's doing it for the views and attention.
Yeah. Whenever you see a video like that, I'm leaving the fandom, it's like, okay, sure, let's see where this goes.
Like, it's like, you know, they just take pot shots and level all these criticisms, and then they just say, nope, there's a door.
Yeah.
Oh, well. But I think that's probably that story because only time will tell if Kaforix is even like the 99% or he just basically vanishes or something.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. So that's essentially his problem now. Like, this is nothing for us to deal with. Yeah. So before we continue on live comments, SDX Darkest says, I think y'all should also try to help Generation Z, aka high schools, with the whole sexual nature stuff so that they are not so VAT.
Yeah, I think we, like, some of the more, like, grown-ups, like, somewhere around, like, my age, need to pretty much put those people on a leash and just pull them back a bit and just tell them, no, pull it back. Don't get into that stuff right away.
Yeah, I have a couple of friends who rush things or don't know how to interact with social situations well. They try and help them out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
They're making the same mistakes I did. I can at least teach them what I did to get out of that.
Yep. Oh, no. Ivira,
no. Oh, no. We wanted to hear your story.
Oh, he just basically dropped to see the live comments. But
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, my iPad.
Yes.
Anyway.
Annoying, it's stupid, but whatever. I gotta do what I gotta do.
Anyway, we're just gonna jump right into it though, Avira. It's no secret. You were out at Furpocalypse, having the time of your life. Yeah, all right, take it away. You have a great story to tell, and tell me when you want some photos propped up. There's quite a good few.
Yeah, well, I mean, I go to Furpocalypse every. I've been going to Furpocalypse for the past few years. I think this was my fourth. It might have been my third. I don't remember exactly. But the first Furpocalypse that I went to, that's where I got my fursuit. You know, because Halloween is my favorite holiday, and I'm like, oh, I have to, I must have that. That is perfect. And so I really embraced the character, and it's been really fun since then. And Furpocalypse is really like my favorite convention. I attend all the events, and if you want to screen share the picture of me in the fursuit games.
Oh, absolutely. I've got that propped up. Yeah, actually, I can't remember. Yeah, you told me you were the winner of that. In fursuit games, I always know, they are basically a sort of ball of fun.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's the green team. I was on there. We changed captains this year, but I was also on the green team last year, and we also won last year. And, you know, it's not about winning or anything, but it really does feel good, you know? yeah, that was
great. Hey. Just so we kind of, because I've experienced a few myself, and one time at a con I went to, I basically participated in the non-suit games with some suiters, and all I felt like was like, now I know how the suits feel. Oh, minus God. The handicaps.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
But so, essentially,
in these games, we did all kinds of interesting things. Now, last year, I don't know if you guys know about this, but one of the games was like we were on a scooter and our partner was pushing us around cones. It turns out I completely wiped out and flipped over, and my partner tripped on top of me, and I banged my elbow, and it was a crazy, crazy event. But this year it was a little bit more safe. We did charades, musical chairs. We played some kind of like a rolling dice game, like Yahtzee, where we chucked like boxes, like they were kind of like big dice, like on the floor and stuff. That was pretty cool. But it was very close at the end. But we did come through victorious.
Pretty cool.
Woo!
There's also another event at Furpocalypse called Monster Mash. Now, this was basically where the guest of honor, Nightmind, you guys might know him as Nick Nocturne. He has a YouTube channel. He does all kinds of reviews for like creepy stuff, and he happens to be a furry also, which is super cool. He actually revealed his fursuit at this convention, because a lot of people were like speculating, like, oh, well, is he really a furry? Is he not? And yeah, it turns out, well, he is. So at the Monster Mash, basically it was a presentation of fursuits and their characters, especially really spooky ones or ones that were like themed for Halloween. And I got there a little late, but being the candy corn dog, I mean, this is like my season. You know, this is totally like my thing. So, Joel, did you want to throw up some pictures of me on stage with our guest of honor?
Oh, absolutely. I've got that one.
Yeah, that was so cool.
Right up.
And on stage, I even told him that I was like a big fan of his work, because I have been for quite some time. He does some really interesting videos about analyzing creepy things like Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared, or Slender Man, or creepy stuff you see on Adult Swim at like 4 o'clock in the morning. Like, he'll analyze.
Oh, you mean off the air? Oh, that's
yeah.
So creepy.
Oh, all kinds of stuff like that. Yeah, yeah. Unedited footage of a bear. He's done videos on that. So that was really cool to meet him.
Something really scary that I.
Oh, I think I actually love how they put the aesthetic background theme.
Yeah. But I went to that. I also went to the fursuit parade, which, I mean, you know, if you always go to that. But unfortunately, there was one thing wrong with this convention. Now, let me just backtrack a bit. Nothing went wrong at this convention. There was no fire alarms. There was no ambulances, no police. It went totally smoothly, which was awesome. The only thing that I didn't really appreciate, well, I'm sure no one really did, was the weather on Saturday. It poured. And I mean, like, it was a rainstorm the entire day. Now, my hotel was actually across the street from the main hotel. So I had to run across the street back and forth, you know, across the highway with my fursuit in a plastic bag, like, trying not to get it wet. But we also had the parade on that day. And instead of going outside like we do every year, they funneled us into like this room, and there was 417 fursuiters out of 1,391 people that attended. So they crowded us into this room, and I was standing next to my roommate, also a raider, Astral. And I was, I'm probably not in the picture. And if I am, maybe you'll see like a little orange blob of my ear or something. It was so bad. Like we were packed in there, so crowded. Oh my god.
The ear.
The unedited footage of a bear thing was kind of creepy. It's like it took the concept of a pharmaceutical commercial and just had the secret messages about the big pharma and stuff. How this lady sees herself, but as a bad vision of herself trying to come after her and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what Nightmind talked about in his videos. You know, he analyzes all those kind of creepy things, and it was really cool to meet him. I didn't know he was going to be here, actually. So that was nice.
Avira, may I make a quick comment?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
If you ever caught in that rainstorm situation again, there's this really neat product that I studied a while back. It's a hydrophobic coating spray that is safe for fabrics.
Oh, like one of those... Oh, geez, what is it? One of those, like, atomic type of weird materials. It's, like, water-resistant.
It's actually a hydrophobic spray, as in you can coat things with it.
Wow.
So pretty much water comes off the fabric like off of a goose's butt, essentially.
Yes. We've figured out how to make that work as a spray, that you can spray fabrics with it, and it makes them waterproof and stain-proof.
Yeah, back to that unedited footage of a bear, I just remembered that one part, how they said how these commercials had the these things at the end, just about the side effects, how they had so many side effects, these drugs. Mm-hmm. Like, this drug may contain side effects such as dizziness, fatigue, thoughts of suicide, loss of consciousness, and yada yada.
Absolutely.
Yeah, aren't those medical commercials illegal in other countries?
I think
so. For my country, it really depends. It really depends on what type of drug.
Yeah. In the United States, you're not allowed to post, have commercials for antidepressants, but you can have commercials for things that help antidepressants. It's very weird. And that's basically what this video is all about. So getting back to the con, after the parade and all that, like I said, I took the picture. I'm not sure if I'm actually in the group photo because there was way too many of us. We eventually ended up raising, I believe it was $10,000 and 10,373. Okay, I think that's what the number was. And it's really cool because, like, at the closing ceremonies, I got there and we only raised about 7,800. And within 20 minutes, we raised over $1,200 and beat the goal of 10,000.
Wow.
And these charities... one of them was for service dogs in the military and police. And I believe the other one was something for the LGBT community. I'm not sure what exactly the cause was, but it was something for that. So the money was split, you know, between those two. And it's always great seeing the charities for dogs, you know?
Yeah. I would have definitely gone preferential for the dog charities.
Yeah.
Rather not a double-edged sword, you know?
I'd give a charity to help an endangered species.
Yeah, that's great.
I think the one thing that this community needs to have a charity for is basically to help our fellow furs with like mental illness or something.
That could be beneficial.
Because that is a very big problem in this community that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm sure in the future, someone is going to organize that.
Yeah. Talking to other stuff, though, there were a couple of things that made the con a little bit sour for you. Or any, Astral basically claimed there were, oh god, Verivens again.
Yes.
I did hear that. Now, thankfully, I did not see any myself, but yeah, I did hear that they were around. Now, you know, Furpocalypse is not as big as Anthrocon or Euroference. You know, I mean, Euroference specifically was like, oh, we are a liberal convention. Here, have a Nazi fur, F off ribbon. Furpocalypse, so, thankfully, was not as crazy about that, but I did hear that it was there.
Preaching about the fictional Nazi furs once again.
Yeah, exactly.
Dead horse that they can't stop beating. That's all it is. But aside from that, though,
they're beating a dead horse, obviously.
Other than that, though, I think we'll kind of close this, round this off a little bit. But just to conclude, how was your overall experience, and would you recommend this convention?
All right. Well, my overall experience, it was awesome, and I did send you a couple other pictures of like me with hanging out with people with drinks and stuff at parties. I don't know if you want to post that, but yeah, I mean, I went to a lot of room parties and it was so fun. Oh, and there was one other thing that I didn't mention. There was a panel called Second Amendment Furries. For those of you outside the United States, that means furries who appreciate the ownership of firearms.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to that panel, but it turned out it was me and like a dozen other people, but it turns out that the website canceled it and the guy didn't show up. I'm not sure exactly who ran it, but those of us who were there, we made it our own panel. You know, I stayed there for about a half hour. We all just talked about basic gun laws, gun safety, responsible ownership, and talking about where to get things, you know, different models. We even had a guy from the military in there too.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, he went to, I believe he said he retired in 2007, and he knew a lot, too. He even came, like, in his whole Army outfit. It was pretty honorable. But yeah, I mean, it was a really fun panel. Even though the guy didn't show up, you know, there was no presentation. We all kind of just made it, like, our own thing. So I thought that was really cool. Yes, so back to the question. Would I recommend this convention? Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, this is my favorite convention ever.
Yeah, but I have to go drive all the way from Texas all the way up there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is a distance. Yeah, this was in Cromwell, Connecticut.
Oh, wow, that's pretty far.
For me, it was about a three-hour drive from Long Island. You know, I had to travel west, then north, then east, so I had to, like, go up and around. I could have taken the ferry, but it would have been about the same amount of time, so I just drove there.
Yeah, but a boat ride's cool.
I know, right? I was thinking that too, because there's even a bar on the ferry, which is really funny. It's like, it's only a two-hour ferry ride, and there's a bar on it. I'm like, what the heck?
But yeah, I always wanted to go on a boat on the ocean.
Yeah, but yeah, it was a great experience, and like I said, I really highly recommend it.
Speaking of boats on the ocean, maybe sometime soon. That's what I'm going to say for the time being, though.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, well, I think that's probably that for a wrap.
Yeah.
The next item of discussion is,
yeah, I think,
is the namesake of our title episode. Why has Gritty gone off and done this? Gritty's first month, the heroic ascendance of a ghastly, empty-eyed Muppet. Look at it.
I mean, this is scary. That's a scary thing. Oh my god, look at that.
Yikes. I know. This is basically a you know, an abomination between a freaking chimpanzee and something you'd see out of an abomination in Star Wars.
End quote. It says he was 7 feet tall and had a wild pumpkin-colored mane. His eyes like huge and lolling did not blink.
You guys ever see that? Ever see that Momo thing? Mm-hmm. That creepy face girl. Kind of reminds me of that. Momo.
Ugh.
Oh my goodness. Ridiculous.
I've seen pizzeria animatronic characters, but I don't mind seeing that. Mm.
It's like, didn't we learn from early 90s animatronics?
There is an uncanny valley. It exists.
Welcome to Chuck E. Cheese's.
Oh, God. A friend of mine has a whole bunch of horror stories with that place.
No.
Okay, so, yeah.
The big... people are blaming this mascot for their nightmares.
That's yes. Interesting. I mean, look at how funny this little thing is, like Gritty's little tweet. Just, I've been referred to many as thick.
We should point it at Master Freddy's, though.
So if you say a thick or thick grit, you aren't me. This is like the wrong level of thick.
I know. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And you know what the worst part of this all was? That Gritty was designed to go full woke.
Yeah, right. Oh my god, this thing's a freaking beast.
I mean, they made a resolution, which I will pop up and read, that Philadelphia basically welcomed him and basically wrote all these points describing Gritty. Whereas, blah, blah, blah. Whereas Gritty was introduced to an unprepared world as the Philadelphia Flyers' new mascot on September 24th, 2018. His true origin, agent origins remain cloaked in obscurity. Oh, whereas his design, wow.
Wow. Like,
what kind of legal... I wouldn't call this a legal document, but rather, you know. Them stating, like, you might as like...
It's an official statement, yeah.
Wait, oh God, read this. Whereas, Gritty has been described as a 7-foot-tall orange hellion, a fuzzy eldritch horror, a ghastly empty-eyed Muppet with a Delco beard, a snuffle... Porg Fagus, and Oscar the Grouch, a deranged orange lunatic, an acid trip of a mascot, a shaggy orange Wookiee-esque grotesquerie, a non-binary leftist icon.
Okay. Yeah, even his age is, the one before that said that his age is obscure. Like, you don't even know how old he is. Because that would be ageism if he's too old or too young. Oh, how dare you.
Like, I mean, the paragraph is basically this. Is this something a self-respecting designer writes?
I don't know. I mean, they must have been very, very high and probably had a nightmare about this thing and were like, you know what? This is a good idea. Let's get woke.
Let's scare the children.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Gritty brings people together. The divisions in our current political and cultural life have rendered Gritty contested territory. Oh, wow. Okay. Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah, there is one little thing just to kind of hear. Whereas, at the same time that Gritty brings people together, the divisions in our current political cultural life have rendered Gritty contested territory. Gritty has been widely declared Antifa.
Didn't the U.S. government declare Antifa a terrorist group?
Well, yeah, they did.
The Department of Homeland Security designated them as a terrorist group because they
have a terrorist as a mascot.
Why, Gritty? Why?
Right? Why? Why? Come on, Gritty.
Read this thing. They justified, it says, it has been argued that he, quote unquote, conveys the absurdity and struggle of modern life under capitalism, and that he represents a source of joyful comic respite in the time of this decided upheaval.
Oh, great.
What? Oh, my God. Oh, this is just silly. This is just a silly thing. Yeah, I mean, Antifa appropriates a creepy mascot. Shocker.
Gritty make milkshakes, not politics.
Fucking hell, I mean, damn it, why did the Wall Street Journal have to lock this under a subscription wall? I was gonna read that because everybody was knocking on how the Wall Street Journal got so up in arms, and then they're just like, oh, he's salty that Gritty's Antifa.
Well, but why are they embracing this? It's weird.
Yeah, Antifa is a terrorist group because the Department of Homeland Security called them that. Yeah, because they've been beating people up.
Yeah, exactly.
Violence and companies still want to associate themselves with them. I think there should be some punishment. There should be some penalizing for them doing that. If any kind of company supports those kinds of groups, they should be somewhat penalized.
Yeah, I support that too. But ultimately, at the end of the day, what's going to happen is people see this, and you know, the Philadelphia's hockey team is going to lose a lot of support fast if they get.
Probably. I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah. I mean, do you think this is basically the next, ice hockey's version? No, because we're not exactly at ice hockey's, you know, Colin Kaepernick levels yet, right?
Not yet.
Are you referring to the frickin' footballers who did the kneeling to the national anthem?
Yes, but I haven't seen that problem plague ice hockey, like, ever.
Yeah, ice hockey's always been like a very, almost like gladiatorial kind of sport.
Right. And, I mean, it's just, it does look only a tiny little bit awkward if they did that on ice.
Oh, yeah, right? How do you do that?
Well, I mean, there's the ice hockey fights. There's the fights that break out on the ice.
Yeah, it's a rough sport.
Oh, yeah. Couple of little live comments here. Darker says, Gritty, make milkshakes, not politics.
Yeah, I said that before.
Yeah. Ice says, get woke, go broke. Hell yeah, dude. That's how it is.
Fox popped up and says, wow, kill it with fire.
Yep.
And ultimately...
That was mascots in a nutshell back in the 90s, which is why I think a lot of people, even a lot of the furry personas, like, looked better in the 90s than a lot of the mascots in the 90s.
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah.
Because we actually put some heart and care into it.
You know, I don't understand why, like, companies or teams or whatever don't just go to fursuit makers to make their mascots. It would be so much better. Like, wouldn't it? Instead of getting abominations like this thing with those derpy eyes, like, no.
And they call him a Halloween icon.
Yeah, what the heck? No. Go to a fursuit maker and then get your costume, like, legit made.
Although, so I think better. I think nowadays you kind of need to be careful about that because of the whole sex side and all that.
Oh, well, I mean, if you're talking about the whole Zabivaka incident when... Now, that was made by a person quite embraced by the fandom in many ways.
Yeah. Oh, God, maybe for not for all the right reasons. But I got a funny tweet that I found that this is worth sharing. Oh, God.
Okay. Yeah, go for it.
If Gritty
Zabivaka, no.
Big Dragon is definitely libertarian. I mean, it's like just play a freaking woke mascot game.
Is that basketball?
Yes, it is.
You know you're in a very precarious situation with freaking basketball is more red-pilled and based than all the other sports.
Yeah, right? Like, even ice hockey. Like, what the heck?
I mean, they're just throwing bags. They're just throwing balls into baskets. A lot of people could take that the wrong way, though.
I mean,
I made it worse.
woke mascots like these. I mean, at least Stuff has a better design than Critty.
He does, actually. He definitely has a much better design.
Honestly, and
oh, yeah, he actually looks good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really sure what those things coming out of his nose are supposed to be.
It's a noodle.
It could be noodle, or it could be
fire.
I mean, it's a little weird, but oh, you know what? If those things are like those, the things where you blow in them and it makes like a sound.
Party blower thing, one of those things. That feel sound.
Well, that was fascinating. Yeah.
I mean, otherwise, they just called him libertarian for the sake idea of just having straws.
Don't get any ideas, Darkus. Gritty, no. Stuff, yes. Oh, yes. Don't get any ideas now.
Oh, my goodness. Somebody can throw in all the libertarian jokes they want now. Oh, God. Like, honestly, if so. If somebody unironically creates a bona fide Republican mascot with all these stereotypes, well,
yeah, the only way to make it complete is that if he was wearing a cowboy hat, that's the only way to make it complete.
Huh, it started raining.
Well, I think that's probably that kind of a wrap for the for that mascot section. The next item of discussion is a bit of a touchy one.
Yeah.
So
there's one guy watched on YouTube talking about the Pooh controversy, which was Paul Joseph Watson. He actually did make a great point. Once they go after Pooh and remove that character from the show, they're going to go after the other characters, which mostly all of them are stereotypes.
Oh, good. That's a great topic to talk about. I wish we had time.
Yes.
I know.
And yes.
Oh, the Simpsons.
Oh,
and
God.
Yes, they're going to be banning a bunch of characters and like until they're going to be like screeching about how it's not diverse after they all did that.
Oh, God, yeah. That's a whole another can of worms I'd like to open for another time.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's just focus on the other stuff first. Yeah. We'll put that on the back burner for now.
Yeah. So the biggest thing right now is Sony's censorship policies telling about today's society.
Oh, God, that's worse. But okay.
Yeah, Sony's basically made some crazy, crazy decisions over this whole year. I mean,
first even Japan is affected, you said, right? Like, even Japan is affected by this?
Yes. I mean, this is Japanese games, Japanese art design, like the picture here, Japanese so on themes. And because they. And now, like, the biggest trend right now is all these lewd games, like, and everybody, and so that everybody can have their waifus.
Their waifus.
Like one time on one of the past episodes, we discussed this because one developer got a little touchy on Steam and he basically made this campaign to have this game reinstated and hashtagged it waifu holocaust.
You know, this is really sad too, because like Ed was saying before about SJWs banning people like Apu from The Simpsons, here we see another big company giving in to SJWs.
It's not so much that. It's rather their policy institute, their policy what? Decisions were because they moved their head office to California, and now
they're still censoring game developers though, like. You can't make a game the way you want to without abiding by their policies, and that's crazy.
Really, all this is going to do is push people away from using Sony as a platform altogether.
Yeah, and this affects developers in several different countries. And, you know, this is the culture in other nations. And, you know, if you want to make a game with some risque characters, I mean, I really don't see the problem with that. But...
Everything
is just so offensive now. You know?
There's a huge kind of double standard into this, though. Like, the thing is, Japanese lewd games are basically...
I'm sorry. Harun and Hopus says, move aside, Gamergate. Here comes Waifu Gate.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, God.
But we did have Comics Gate.
Yeah.
Jeez. Hashtag Waifu Holocaust.
Oh, God.
Like, oh.
I dread the thought of something like that happening, because how many horny individuals would be so angry that their waifus are under threat? I mean, just imagine that.
Dude, I have never... Like, this is the year where all these, you know, waifu games have come out everywhere. You see it on Steam. Now PlayStation's picking up the trend.
Yeah.
And this is really to Steam's benefit, too, since they went the other way.
I mean, yeah, but the next can of worms I wanted to open up was the, you know, was why, since Japanese lewd games are on the chopping block, what does it say when Western lewd games are not, when, you know, when we have like Grand Theft Auto 5 and strip clubs?
Mm.
Oh,
man, those games even existed back in the 90s. Jeez.
There's even more when it comes to the VR system. Do you know how much porn is on VR? Oh my goodness.
There is?
I've heard.
Oh, oh God.
Oh yeah.
Damn titties.
Right? Like, so I guess Sony's not going to be very happy with developers doing games like that anymore.
Yeah, so.
Yikes.
Yeah. Freaking VR and having like porn on VR, fucking for horny 14 to 18 year olds. Mother of God. Ugh.
look at this though. Like, there's a little comparison here I put up on screen share that shows the extent of how far they're going with censorship. One, PS4 on the far left. And then
Wait a minute. This reminds me of something really crazy I just saw recently. Didn't someone actually develop a neural net to undo the censorship?
I don't know.
As accurately as possible.
The article brings up a good point, though. It says, what does Sony have to gain by forcing developers to cover up their artwork? Like,
in this
seriously,
way.
What do they actually have to gain by this? Is this a good business decision?
No. I don't know.
I don't think so.
I mean, yeah. There's
and
that.
They're not even, and it's not even porn. Like, in that case, in the article, it was not even porn. The girl was closed. And it's like, oh, we have to censor it anyway.
Look at how funny. I found it cute that they had to censor a lot out of that, like free parts.
Yeah, that's crazy. So, like, I mean, what's the point? You know, if you're a developer, it's like, well, you know, why bother? Use Sony as my sponsor for developing my game. I wouldn't want to either.
Yeah, I'd sooner go to Steam.
Yeah, or some other some other provider.
I mean, I'm feeling a little iffy about buying a PlayStation 4 though. But at the end of the day, the next can of worms, of course, is, you know, that violent games aren't being censored, but, you know, lewd games are. Like, where do you draw the freaking line?
Well,
speaking of the PlayStation 4, that just reminded me of something really interesting that also feeds into our next topic. The actual operating system for PlayStation is actually BSD-based. As in, if you can figure out how to decrypt the updates for the system, you can, you know, basically turn it into a desktop.
Oh, that's cool.
Freaking SCX Darkus again. Well, at least no more Sony thoughts, right?
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean,
I don't get it.
You know, I mean, look at Spyro, though. You know, they're trying to censor that too, because there were some villains in Spyro in the original one where they had guns, and in the new version, the Reignited Trilogy, now they have blasters, and they're not actual bullets like they used to be. So that's just yep, I know.
Lasers, guns, does the same thing.
Yeah, but like
one vaporizes the other, just draws blood.
Well, in the original game, they actually had like machine guns, like legit guns. So in Twilight Harbor and stuff like that. So there was a whole stupid controversy about that. Oh, well, we have to censor the guns, and I'm like, why?
It's not necessary.
No, because really there's games like Call of Duty where you're literally walking around with a freaking AK-47 and killing people. What's wrong with Spyro having guns? Come on.
I mean, I don't approve of those things, but if you're going to put it in the game, go ahead.
Well, I mean, there's precedent, you know? Call of Duty and other war games have been around for so long. And, you know, I don't know. It's probably another story I should talk about later because I have a lot of thoughts on it.
Yeah, I'll switch it in another.
Yeah, because the whole Call of Duty thing is pretty much another can of worms as to like some. There's a reason why that those games were freaking rated M for mature, especially when it came to the campaigns, because they were gritty and rough. And that's what people liked about World at War and stuff. It was gritty and rough. And then, you know, now it's become oversaturatedly focused on the multiplayer because they know it's going to be marketed to kids.
Yeah.
And that's another really interesting point to think about is we have all of these, you know, game, you know, rating systems already in place. And why aren't they being focused on that? Because all of the correct methods to handle such games are in place by this rating system. And instead of using the rating system or upping its rating to a higher level of maturity, they are instead trying to censor the game altogether.
Yeah.
Which is really just a loss of profits.
If you look back at the article in relation to lewd games, you know, very risque material, those are the kind of things where kids can get their hands on these games. And regardless of your rating system, I mean, like, you know, it's there, I think, really for, like...
The kids could also get their parents to buy the game.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, or they could just go online and download
it. Well, then wouldn't it be negligent for the parent to then not notice the rating system?
Yeah, yeah, it would be.
I guess it would be. Yeah, that's a good point.
But, like, does it
really help,
though?
That's another thing to consider.
Yeah, it's hard. It's kind of difficult because, like, you know, no matter how old or young you are, like, we have the internet. You know, anyone can basically download any game they want, regardless of the rating system at all. I think it's really just there for aesthetics. You know, just for legal purposes.
Yeah.
It's pretty much just become just a label at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah. Instead of actually used for, you know, its own purpose.
Of course, yeah, but I don't approve of, you know, letting underage play games like that. You know, when it comes to, like, sexual content, you know, that's not okay.
It's not that PC.
Maybe there should be restrictions on it. I mean, I don't know how that could possibly be enforced, but it would be beneficial.
Parents could actually, you know, take care of their children.
Right, yeah, that's probably where it comes in.
Yeah, I think it's just that people need to start taking more responsibility for their actions.
Well, the gaming community, as usual, is like, oh, the PlayStation 4 is better than Xbox One. Well, I got an Xbox One. I don't see how they are different from each other in games.
I mean, Xbox is basically... I haven't even seen Xbox talk about this recent issue, but that's kind of a side point because they haven't really got ties to the Japanese developers.
That's probably
why. I mean,
Xbox
is controlled by Microsoft anyway.
Yeah.
All right. What's the next topic? We should probably get a move on.
We've got more than enough time. We don't mind worrying a bit late.
Mm-hmm.
It's just.
Yeah, but if Aviera did have an Xbox One and he had a Call of Duty Black Ops 3, I'll play the game with him.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
any game.
Sorry, man.
Pardon. Jolt, could you the two links that I sent you for could you put them on the screen share for Proton?
Yeah. I can do just that. That's the next topic we're gonna talk about.
Yes. Now, despite our somewhat negativity on Sony not allowing developers to create what they want, this next story actually is. A little bit more uplifting and kind of counters that, thankfully.
Indeed. It's not one that I've got an awful lot of knowledge on, but ultimately this is, at least it's a good foil compared to what Sony's pulled off.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Proton is a new tool that's integrated to Steam to make Windows games work on Linux. And I mean, I know it's no secret that Linux is very, very shortchanged when it comes to games on Steam and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Douglas, you must know a lot more than this than I or the others might know. So,
well, yes, I've worked with Linux environment for quite some time, and I know what Proton is built off and all that. I'm just having difficulty reading the text on that article at such a small resolution. All right, I'm going to try here. So what is Proton? Proton is a new tool released by Valve Software that has integrated with Steam. Now, I should just be able to carry on from that point based off of my own knowledge. Now, Proton isn't really a new thing to Linux. Proton is really a fork, and just for people who are not aware of what a fork is, well, on GitHub, where you have one repository of code, and you, you know, make a copy of it, and then do your own modifications to it. Proton is a fork of Wine, which is Windows is not emulated, a software library that is meant to emulate DLL system, the dynamic link library system of how Windows is able to run software. So the main focus of it is that you're supposed to use Wine on Linux to run Windows executables natively through that emulation layer. Sorry. Well, with Steam forking Wine, instead when people wanted to play Windows games through Steam on Linux, what they would instead have to do is they would have to boot up Wine, and then they would have to install a separate instance of the Steam client in Windows mode. Because the native Steam client, when you're on Linux, if a game was not natively supported, the Steam client prevented you from installing it, even if you were a developer. So by integrating Wine into the Steam client, you are now able to, you know, integrate the emulation layer of Wine directly into the client so that you can then run Windows games through the client on Linux without having to have two separate Steam clients running.
So in essence, I was going to say it's actually an emulator that runs kind of like, yeah, kind of, that just runs an unsupported Steam game on Linux that makes it work.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what
sorry
this means
if I was a little too verbose with that.
That's all right. Basically what this means is that you're able to play older games using this system. Games that a lot of people were unable to find before.
Most Windows games that are supported on the Steam library will now be able to be run on Linux through this emulation layer that they have incorporated into the Linux client.
Also, Hope is here said that he's saying, I'll see if I can get that while I build my PC. I'm pretty sure Douglas here would encourage that.
Oh, yeah, very much so. If also, another thing, if you're going to be running a Linux environment, I would stay away from Ubuntu.
Even though it's
usually the main one for people to be switching over to Linux first time, it has a lot of problems compared to other distributions. Uh-huh. I would recommend something more Arch-based as a first-time Linux distribution. For example, Manjaro.
Interesting choice, though. But, you know, the whole I can't help but be reminded that people really do have, they enjoy, you know, preserving old games, and to the Linux developers, I basically applaud them for it.
I've made it so that all of the Windows games can now be removed or migrated from the Windows platform and be used on any platform that the Steam client can now support.
I mean, I still can't get over why people like freaking. The only company who'd have a great big deal about emulation is Nintendo, but Steam doesn't care.
No, Steam doesn't care.
And I mean, PC games, like, hey, more platforms, more accessible, but you know, don't tell tell that to the Mac people.
How about I give a good example of something that you would be able to use that I previously was not able to use on a Linux Steam client. You see, I actually had a game in my library. It was the original copy of XCOM Alien. I forget the rest of the name, but it was the original XCOM game Like the first one, the one that had like the 2D graphics. Mm-hmm. On like, it was like real pixelated and all that, but it was still a pretty cool game. Now, because Linux, because Steam hadn't integrated Proton yet, I had actually bought that game and was unable to use it for a couple years because the client would not allow me to download it, even if I were to try and make it run by myself.
Ah.
So now that will run natively out of the client. That's pretty great.
All right.
Essentially, yeah.
That'd be awesome if you ever got Xbox One, because Xbox One costs anywhere between $250 and $300, as it maybe like $180.
I mean, let all of us make a choice in light of what's happened now. But I think maybe, I'm not sure if I'm you know, out of principle, I'm going to be turned off of, you know, getting a PlayStation 4. Like,
I mean,
well, you always got to remember that if you're going for PlayStations for their games, most of the time the same games you can get on PC with a little bit of effort. And if they're old games that haven't been ported to PC, then you're in luck, since there are emulators for the old firmware for PlayStation 3 and 2.
Yeah, there's that too. If I wanted to consider emulation, I would. But other than that, though, just to kind of last minute clarify on the Sony thing, just to double back.
That's what I was thinking. I don't know if PlayStation 4 has a chat setting, but you can chat on the Xbox One, kind of like Discord.
It's there if you need it, though, but, you know. But, yeah, just to clarify on the PlayStation thing, This is what happens when not only you move to California, but you force the Japanese people to actually do all the report writing in English and not, you know,
Japanese.
Well,
yeah, a bit of a language barrier there.
Yeah, it's not efficient too. Mm. But at the same time, the fact that they've basically made all these rigorous inspections. Wow, some of the developers also were complaining about how rigorous the inspections were, that they've even been forced to cancel some of their releases.
Jeez, that's awful.
Yeah, wow. They put all that time and money and effort into it, and then just have no other choice but to pull the plug.
Well, they could just take their release and move it to another platform too.
I mean, those third parties can either switch to Steam or, you know, Switch. Excuse the pun.
Mm.
But, you know, at the end of the day, Japan is also, you can't forget that they're experiencing a demographic decline. And a console decline too.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not so bad that Japan's experiencing a, you know, decline in population. They're more consolidating their resources.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but stuff like this, I mean, Sony's, you know, getting involved, like, in their own culture. You know, like, people, game developers in Japan are not able to create what they want to.
And really all that's going to lead to is a whole bunch more of indie developers.
Yeah, right? You know, Sony's,
which is
gonna
a positive turn on that.
Yeah.
In, you know, indie develop lewd game just to troll Sony.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
that's actually already happened a couple of times, hasn't it?
Oh, they've made lots of trolley games. Steam's full of.
Yeah, and then Steam kind of had to do something about all those troll games. Because,
well, at least they're removing the ones that were literally not games or were
just trolly,
not worth the money they were asking for.
Hmm. I think Night in the Woods is like that.
Oh god.
What? What's wrong with that game?
It doesn't really play like a game for the most part.
No, I haven't personally played it.
I just refused to get it because the freaking of a socialist developer who basically violated his principles.
What? So,
socialists violating their principles?
Yeah, what? A socialist game developer.
What they were? Ah, this is none of which I'm aware of.
Yeah,
the developer of the game Night in the Woods is a socialist. A socialist is basically making a game to sell to people.
That is so paradoxical.
Yeah, right? That's essentially what he's getting at. It's a paradox.
Yeah, and the developer has gone public on this too. So,
and well, wait, what is the story in Night in the Woods anyway?
It's pretty much what the hunter says. Night in the Woods is more like an interactive movie. And the story is that you play as this character, May, who basically comes back from dropping out of college, goes back to Possum Springs, and basically dabbles into some, basically everything around her is basically moved on. Her friends are moving on as well. And there's a cult involved, and the cult is kind of like, it's pretty much taking a jab at conservatives.
It's We're not just tagging a visual novel, then.
It's Antifa simulated a game for furries.
Eh. I mean, I took just the art from the game and got the exact opposite take from it. I saw that the game was themed on the breakdown of the Rust Belt, and instead I thought, well, if there's such a lack of jobs in the Rust Belt, then that's ripe for innovation.
Mm-hmm. But ultimately, at the end of the day, that game is nothing but a screed against capitalism.
Oh, God.
And they're blaming the woes of the Rust Belt on capitalism too in that game, which is just horrible. You know.
Well,
when the cultists complained about the unions, Beatrice, one of the characters, is like, "Oh, here we go."
But wasn't it more just the coal mine shut down?
Yeah, that's essentially what's also that was discussed in the game as well. The coal mines being shut down and how...
And wasn't that the reason that those coal mines shut down is because the steel industry collapsed because it got exported to China? And then we instead got shitty steel from China instead of producing it locally with the steel mills around here. And so the coal mills no longer had a, you know, buyer for all of that coal, and so the coal mines got shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, I think we kind of, this is pretty much what we've got for time, even though but even in that though, what a week it's been. At least you're not me with everything that's been thrown on my plate. Oh, and at least, you know, freaking you had the time of your life, and you basically, as insulation from all this.
Yeah, I haven't even seen, like, all this stuff going on. I mean, I've been away for days. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I'm not even on social media, so I just heard about it through you guys.
Don't worry, though. We're just going to, you know, keep most of the stuff on Calovo. But other than that, though... you guys, just one at a time, got any little closing statements for, you know, this week's little news cycle? Douglas?
Oh, sure. Well, since we mentioned Linux as one of the remaining topics, I've actually been working on a mobile development project called Postmarket OS, and you guys should really check it out. It is basically Android, but you get all of the features of a desktop operating system. It's absolutely wonderful. Meaning that, let's say, if you wanted to run any desktop environment you wanted from a Linux operating system, you could do it on Postmarket OS if you, you know, configure it to work with your phone. And you would be able to get super user, you could run servers off of your cell phone, you could do anything you could do on a desktop operating system within the hardware limitations of your cell phone.
Sounds good. Like, if you're interested in that stuff, why not have a look at it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, what next up? Who else got a closing statement? Avira?
Well, this has been a very eventful week, and I hope everyone had a great and super awesome Halloween. I know I did. I didn't get to talk about it, but I did walk around my neighborhood in fursuit because, you know, why not? And it was really fun. And yeah, hope to see you guys next week.
Mikhail?
I guess closing statements would be that remember what we were before. Just talk is doing all this kind of stuff just as like having an interest in just being ourselves and nothing else.
Yeah. It's kind of what you know what people have forgotten.
Mm-hmm. Be yourself, don't be the label.
Yeah. That's exactly the kind of principle that we are essentially sticking toward. Either way, yeah. Sparky?
Yeah. Have a great time, and you had a great Halloween, and you have a great this time this month.
It's like you're yes, you are a raider, but you also got to remember you're an individual at first.
Yep. Yeah. That's why we take the time to have fun at Halloween and so forth. I know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but that's a story that I got. I'm not going to really trust people who know. Anyway, that's all the time we've got. I hope you had as much fun as you did listening to this as we did with, you know, the production side of things. This is us. Signing out for the week. Don't forget, you can find the audio version will be coming soon, and you can find it on Podbean, iTunes, Google Play Store, and Stitcher. And this YouTube stream will be staying up. And well, this is us signing out. Farewell, and until next time.
Bye. Thanks for watching. Yep.